This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02 on your Wednesday. Bear is here. Mr. Fabulous is here. Matt Huckabee is here. Oh, man, we are jam-packed. Monster show coming up this afternoon as we get ready for Armageddon at Lindsey Nelson this weekend. It's going to be nuts, man.
Bring it on, LSU. Bring it on.
Have you guys been keeping up with the feud between T-Bob Hebert and Vault Twitter?
Yeah, that guy. Does he drink a 12-pack before he gets on Twitter?
He goes hard.
Have you seen some of the silly stuff? Posted a decapitated Smokey.
Oh, my God. No.
Rudimentary photoshops that are obviously done in like MS Paint, like on Windows 95.
I kind of like it.
He's the kind of guy that if he were a part of our program.
Oh, he's got Fan Run material written all over.
We'd love him, but since he's, you know, Fan Run version of LSU, the guy can go to hell, Russ.
But he's going to be on the show today.
Huh?
We've got him coming on the show today. At 4:20. So get your popcorn ready. This is T-Bob Hebert. For those who don't know, he is Bobby Hebert's son, the longtime quarterback for the Saints. And he's Louisiana through and through. He played offensive line. I believe, I'm not 100% on this, somebody check me, but I believe he's the guy who snapped the ball
over the
quarterback's head in the Dooley game,
yeah.
The Dooley's dozen game. I believe that's him.
No, that absolutely is him.
Like, he was good. He was a good player down there.
Yeah, he had more than a cup of coffee in the league. Yeah. He's a big old boy.
But now he's a loudmouth Baton Rouge sports radio talker. And,
the Baton Rouge. Well,
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect. It could be rowdy here in an hour or so.
He genuinely reminds me of a wrestling character come to life. I mean, the stuff he says is very eccentric. It's very kind of over the top. It's a little bit exaggerated. It's very much for the reaction, for the story.
Well, I hope he's quite the character.
Is he going to go as hard? Is it going to be uncomfortable like when you and Matt Jones get into it?
I don't know. I've never talked to him. So I don't know if it's going to be an adversarial thing. I don't know if we're going to like scream and yell at each other or if we're going to
We're not taking anything off of him. Last time I checked, they're 0-3 against us this year.
Not taking anything off of him. But, I mean, it's up to him. I'll bring him on.
He ought to worry less about tweeting at us and maybe more about, maybe getting a crying towel for his coach down there.
Maybe
a fresh packet of pens.
We'll bring him on. We'll see what happens. T-Bob Hebert coming up in hour number two. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, Chris Burke is going to join the show. And that'll be a mutual love affair. I mean, there's no beef with Berkey. He has been leading the charge for Tennessee baseball for a long time now. He's one of our all-time greats. He's been to Omaha. He knows what it's like. He's going to be calling the games for ESPN this weekend with Tom Hart. And we're going to talk to him about Tennessee's chances. This is going to be a difficult series. Tennessee's going to be a favorite. I don't know. Does FanDuel have anything on this? We have to check.
We need to check. I will tell you about Chris Burke, though. His coat of orange wool is rivaled only by maybe Roger. He's the wooliest of the wooly Tennessee sheep, regardless of sport.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a fun show, man. Buckle up, should be a good one here. And wow, people are big mad online about this ticket deal. And I've been trying to decide all day whether this is something that we should come after UT for, or whether it's just the natural byproduct of a low supply, high demand situation.
Sure.
And basically, if you've been working today and you don't know, they had tickets for the series go on sale at 8:30 this morning. You had to call in and buy them over the phone. And so 8:30 comes around, and of course, we've been talking about it for 2 days now. That, hey, this is a hot ticket, and people are gonna, it's gonna be a feeding frenzy of people trying to get these tickets, and it was. And as John Reed talked about yesterday, apparently there were only like 300 something tickets left.
The official word, I guess, that White put out was that there were, it's either 500 or 600.
Okay, so less than 1,000 tickets for, what do you think, at least 10,000 people probably calling for this.
Oh,
this
no
morning.
Doubt.
Probably more than that.
Are we counting the LSU folks too? Because I guarantee you there's at least 5,000 of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you think yesterday when people were seeing tickets on the secondary market that they basically had pretty much already sold all the tickets before yesterday, today.
I don't know. I don't know. I preface everything that we're about to say. Like, nobody's told me what's happened. I know there are
theories.
I've conspiracy theories out there. They gave them to all the rich folks, and they turned around and sold them and made a profit, and the proletariat is left out in the cold once again. I don't know if that's what happened. My kind of gut feeling is it's just a simple supply and demand thing. We're Tennessee baseball crazy right now.
You don't think
there's less than 5,000 seats available in there. You have to give season ticket holders, people who've been with you the whole time, you have to give them the first crack. There's nothing not normal about that. It's what we do in football every time we go to a bowl game, right? The season ticket holders get first crack. That's the way it should be. I don't have a problem with that. And then by the time those – and, of course, those folks, if they've been going to the midweek games and the games all year long, of course they're going to buy as many tickets as they possibly can for this weekend. So –
I just hope they don't sell them to LSU fans.
I hope so too.
I've got a hell of a theory for you whenever you're ready.
Okay, hold on just a second. My general thought is this is just another UT PR blunder. And by the way, what terrible timing, right, to have fans all mad online about this, and then like an hour later you have this big announcement about Danny White's new fundraising campaign, and
my all,
we're going to talk about the Nealon renderings that came out and the facility enhancements, and we'll get into it. But man, just the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, this guy seems like a boob.
You think that we're going to have this new regime over there, they're PR savvy and everything, and so the next smooth PR move Danny White makes will be the first around here. And I still say, if he can get Tony Vitello locked in and hold that press conference and release that statement, that'll be his first big win. And that'll get a lot of the people who are chirping at him a little bit, like Bear, to back off a little bit.
Chirping, I'm just, you know.
You just called him a boob. You're chirping. So I think that if he can get that done, a lot of this stuff, people will pump the brakes on a lot of the criticism. But, yeah, it was just bad timing today. And somebody should have thought about that, man, because, again, we've been talking about the demand for these tickets all week long, right? All day Monday, all day Tuesday, people were ready. And they knew this. UT, if they didn't, they should have, because they have people on social media. Everybody's talking about, oh, man, 8:30, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be dialing. I'm going to be trying to get those tickets. And if there were only 500 left, if there are less than 1,000 available to begin with, then they should have gotten out in front of that yesterday and said, look, it's going to be difficult. This is all we got. It's first come, first serve. A lot of y'all, most of y'all, aren't going to get tickets. You're not going to be able to. By all means, try.
How'd they do last week?
But this is all we got. And so I feel like if they had just been a little more vocal about that. I don't know how you do that. If it's a Twitter video or if it's a official tweet account, just put it out there, man. Prepare people for disappointment because they didn't do that. I think a lot of people expected that, yeah, I might have to dial five or six times, but I'm going to get in and I'm going to get my tickets. And, heck, I'm sure you guys saw it. There are people dialing over 100 times for half an hour and never even got through to speak to an actual person.
That's what I don't have the attention span or the want to.
Well, you don't, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And those people are very disappointed, as you would be, man.
I agree.
If you're of the mindset that I don't care how long it takes, how many times I have to dial, I'm going to get through. And then not only do you not get the tickets, but you don't even get to speak to a human being. You just get some automated message or busy signals. Oh, man, I'd be steamed. So I get why people are mad. And to me, it's just more PR blunders by the school that takes PR blunders to an art form. Put it out yesterday. Say, look, man, we only got 500 tickets. There's not going to be – we don't have enough seats, and that's why we're going to expand the stadium and all that stuff. But just prepare people a little bit. I feel like a lot of this frustration could have been averted.
Sure.
Today.
But I still in the back of my mind, wondering a couple of things. Was this Danny White's way of controlling the makeup of our crowd?
Why would he want to do that?
Yeah, because of all the, you know, the classless comments.
No, I don't think he cares about that stuff.
Yeah, I really don't buy into, you know, I think a lot of the, to me, crazier things that people are saying, I really do believe that, Russell, you're right. I think that at the end of the day, they had to likely come up with a little bit of money to be able to put this contract and these renovations on the table. I'm sure there was, at least I speculate, that maybe there were a couple of deals made right then. Like, hey, we will hook it up for the Super Regionals. But at the end of the day, when you are trying to figure out how many people you're going to put into the stadium, yeah, there's just sections that are going to be allotted off. And I completely agree with Russell. I think that, yeah, I'm not too upset that this happened. I'm genuinely incredibly upset that it was just not communicated better. It's like if PlayStation 5 gets announced and GameStop has a big sale and everybody wants to go there the next day, but they only have one. It's like you're not really having a big sale. You needed to let people know about the inventory size, and I think that's the same thing here. You got to let people know that, hey, we're going to be open tomorrow at 8:30, but it is very limited. I mean, I've been going back to the little release they gave out to people, back to the Twitter post, back to everything. There was nowhere. That they talked about having a limited number for this general sale.
They should have prepared people a little bit to say, hey, look, if it were up to us, we'd sell 15,000 tickets and everybody, there'd be plenty of room for everybody. It's not. I do think, though, Bear, to your theory, and I have heard from people who were season ticket holders and people who had tickets in the main part of the stadium behind home plate, basically, who said they did buy the tickets, but that they're way on down the line from where they were. So I do think that
we're going to have a bunch of blue hairs and the jewelry rattlers behind home plate.
I hope not, man. I hope not. But
if he's smart, he's putting the 300 UT students directly behind LSU's dugout. That's what I'd do if I were in charge.
At least put them together somewhere where they can have a big effect on the rest of the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, that first baseman of there seems like he's prone to getting all up in his feelings if he gets harassed at all.
And I do think there's just a couple of things maybe, too. Like, last week we celebrated the heck out of Danny White giving 300 tickets to the students, or at least kind of reserving those off. We know that he's going to do that this weekend. Hey, that's 300 students that could have been bought this – or 300 tickets that could have been bought this morning, right, that somebody didn't get. So we also have to take that into consideration. They're hooking up the students. They're hooking up the donors, the people who gave money, and they're having to hook up the other team. So there's just a low amount left. But at the end of the day, they should have just said that. They should have just
put the other team out in the outfield. Those bleachers.
They should have
at the picnic tables.
Yeah, they should have done a better job of anticipating what frustration might arise this morning.
Sure.
And did arise. But to me, at the end of the day, I'm not going to absolutely kill them. At this point, it's just expected. You know, if there's a PR pothole they could step in, they are going to fall headfirst into it at this point. So it's not surprising. I just think it's a supply and demand thing, man. There are a lot of people who wanted to go to these games, who wanted to get in that stadium this weekend, and there's 5,000 seats, man.
Yeah.
Here's the nightmare scenario is that we're going to have that whole section behind home plate is going to be filled with the people that badger you to sit down during games. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, and if somebody gives you the tap on the shoulder that I've gotten many times, especially when I was younger.
Why?
Just tell them, I'm sorry, I bought the ticket, and if you don't like it, then you can stand up too. This is, I mean, you'd be polite about it, but
right.
I'm not sitting down. I'm sorry. Like, I'm here to back Tony Vitello and my team. I'm not sitting down because you can't stand. If you can't stand, you shouldn't have bought the ticket. That's on you, but we're playing for a trip to Omaha. I'm going to be
feet. We're not watching the symphony here.
I'm going to be loud. And
yeah.
I might even be a little bit obnoxious.
It's like there are a lot of us who are in our young 20s who have never seen this happen before. If you don't think that we're going to get up, we're not going to get excited about this, you're out of your dadgum mind. There's people going to be going wild. It's the first.
The problem is those people aren't used to being told no.
Sure.
Hey, we got to take a quick time out. Chris Burke is going to jump in here with us, give us a few minutes of his time. We'll get his thoughts on the atmosphere coming up this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, as well as the future of Tennessee baseball under Tony Vitello as things begin to reach a fever pitch here in Big Orange Country. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, live in Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We're streaming on fanrunradio.com and the free Fan Run app, and you can listen to the podcast on demand at your leisure, wherever you listen to podcasts. Russell and Bear back with you. Rick Butler hanging out with us in studio again this afternoon. And we're pleased to be joined right now on the G3 Help Me Hotline. We're trying to run down Chris Burke, the former Vol, will be on the call for Tennessee this weekend as they take on LSU in a best-of-three series over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and the winner goes to Omaha.
Remember, starting Saturday as well. I know that's already tripped me up
a couple times.
Did I
say Friday?
No, I don't know if you said Friday.
Vitello said, I don't know if you went back. He said that it'll be like Sunday would be the winner take all. And
yeah, nuh-uh.
I didn't even catch that while we had him on. And,
I guess I didn't either.
Re-listened.
It's tripping up a lot of people. But just remember, game starts Saturday. If necessary, it'll be on Monday.
All right, well, we got the man himself.
All right, let's bring in Chris Burke. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
Doing great. What's up?
Not much, man. Just got Tennessee baseball fever. The place is going crazy right now, waiting for the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think of, you know, the list of people I'm very happy about Tennessee baseball being great. The local talk show media has got to be way up at the top of the list. What the heck else do you guys, what would you be spending your time doing right now, Russell?
I asked, so I got to have lunch with Houston Kress, the Vol Rumor Mill, today, and we were talking about the same thing. Like, I don't know, what would we be talking about right now? Where we ate lunch,
the investigation,
ranking the best fast food joints in town. I don't know, something
who's
like that.
Who's gonna play quarterback in the fall? That's what you'd be talking about. Let's be honest, we all know.
We got plenty of time,
but we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it.
It's so awesome. I hope this is just the deal now, and this is what we do in May and June for the foreseeable future. That would be.
Yeah, I think it definitely could be. You know, I really do think this is a coaching staff that has all the makings of building a consistent winner, and certainly an administration that I think sees the picture loud and clear. So hopefully we get this deal done, and you guys are talking postseason baseball for years to come.
So you're going to be on the call again this weekend on ESPN, huge series. Chris, do you find it difficult to remain objective when you're doing UT games?
No, I don't. You know, I like to tell people all the time, if you ever see me coach my kids, you'd know the people I love the most, I'm probably the hardest on. So I really don't. I mean, it doesn't matter what game we're calling, you always get people that say, you know, you say you're slanted, especially in the postseason, everybody's freaking out. But I don't. I mean, I'm a baseball nerd, so I love the sport. obviously I take what I do seriously, so I try my best to call it. And I get excited for good plays, and I tend to, you know, coach up the ones where I feel like they're a mistake. And I don't care if it's Tony V or Paul Maneri, if they do something strategically that I question, I'm going to say it. So I really don't have a hard time staying unbiased, because I guess maybe just the baseball nerd in me is going to call things the way I see them. Now, that doesn't mean my kids aren't coming to the door every time Tennessee scores a run and jumping up and down, because they will be. But hopefully on air, you'll hear a, you know, straight down the middle call.
How difficult is the challenge for Tennessee this week? I mean, you sweep LSU, but they seem like they're on a run, and it's the old adage, it's hard to beat a team twice and all that stuff. What is the challenge like against the Tigers this week?
Boy, there's a lot to that question. I think LSU is a lot more mature than they were the first time Tennessee saw them, but I think Tennessee is too. That LSU team plays a lot of youngsters. Trey Morgan, Dylan Cruz, Jordan Thompson, I mean, those kids are freshmen, and even the non-freshmen, a lot of those guys either had one run through the SEC or had a run through the SEC. So guys like Doty and Dugas, Bianco, those guys aren't exactly, wildly experienced veterans either. So I think LSU had a lot of growing up to do. Obviously, they'll come in with nothing to lose, everything to gain. And they're playing for their coach, which is always kind of a mysterious deal that can, we saw Florida State ride that all the way to Omaha a couple years ago. So that kind of club is always dangerous. I think the interesting thing is, the conversation after LSU lost about just how hostile the Tennessee environment was. I think the LSU players took a lot of that personally, the way that series went. But I also think the flip side of that is I think the Tennessee fans and players probably will be even more ratcheted up this time around because they know it got a reaction, right? What's the old adage when you're playing on the road? Don't let them know that they got to you, because it'll only get worse, right? And so I think LSU having talked about that will probably make it even more hostile than it already would have been.
Yeah, that was what was so weird to me that Maneri would go there after that series earlier, is because they're LSU, right? They've been to Omaha a billion times. They had the biggest stadium. They've benefited probably more than anybody in college baseball from those types of antics, that type of atmosphere. And so I and the other thing that was interesting is that was still during COVID protocols. There were half the people there that weekend.
Not even. I think it was a quarter. I think it was a quarter still at that time, if I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But there's a piece to Lindsey Nelson where it's very intimate, and there is something to the fact that when there's not a ton of people there, you can hear what everybody says. So I think there was a little bit of that going on. Bottom line was, it was very surprising to hear how much that affected LSU, and something tells me it's not going to be a real warm and fuzzy environment this weekend either.
Well, this seems to be kind of a recurring theme with Tony's program, right, is LSU's jimmies were rustled. Arkansas's jimmies were rustled. They get into it with people at the SEC tournament. And it just seems like this is this coach's mentality, and the team takes it on, and the crowd takes it on. What is – Chris, I know you're big in the college baseball world, and just like football, basketball, it's its own community. What is Tony Vitello's reputation in that college baseball universe?
I think it would be what you would expect it to be, but I think this year has really validated his skill and acumen as a coach. So I think everybody always knew he was fiery personality and a dogged recruiter, and they could tell that his team was starting to play with that kind of chip and that the pieces were starting to become more talented. But I think the way that they've managed their bullpen, the way that he's developed some of the kids that have been in that program since the day he stepped on campus, now I think validates his ability as a coach. I think that this is really his first go-round in the national spotlight. So to a degree, Russell, there's still a little bit of a wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he definitely has everybody's attention. And I think most people have recognized, like, oh, this is real. Like, this isn't, you know, just a kind of flash in the pan kind of one-time thing. This deal looks like it's got sustained power. That's at least the vibe I've got from a number of different people. And trust me, if they thought otherwise, they'd tell me, because they love taking shots at me about Tennessee. So.
Well, and he's definitely got everybody's attention. I guess is he making enemies out there? There's already heat with LSU. There's heat with Arkansas. There's always going to be heat with Vanderbilt, no matter who the coach is here. And so these are all the big programs, right? And yeah. Tennessee is poking all these different bears. And I just wonder what that does for the regional/national view of Tennessee baseball going forward. Because I'm operating under the assumption, Chris, that Tennessee's going to take care of him. He's going to stay. They're going to do up the stadium right. And this thing is going to be awesome, like we talked about, for years to come.
Well, like I said, I think you're right. I mean, I think what your perception of how he's viewed is accurate. But that, for instance, Lane Kiffin's first year in Knoxville, there was, you know, I don't know how you would characterize how he was viewed, but yeah. If he'd have stayed 3 years later and year four would have been in a college football playoff, all of a sudden that changes. That view changes from, okay, this guy's just trying to poke the bear, and yeah, he's kind of a dynamic recruiter, and to, oh, this dude's like real. This guy's going to be around a while. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I feel like this year has done. I think everybody already had a certain respect and take on his style, and maybe dislike, whatever word you want to fill in, but whether you like his style or don't like his style, there's probably plenty that don't. There's now a respect that underlies that, whichever side of the fence you fall on there, that legitimizes where he's at in the realm of the sport.
Talk with Chris Burke this afternoon on The Drive. Chris, you have talked a lot this fall, this spring, this summer, about the stadium and Lindsey Nelson and what needs to be done and all that stuff. The demand for tickets today was it was never going to be able to be satisfied. I mean, they probably put 15,000 people in there this weekend if they wanted
to. Oh, yeah, for sure.
What in your mind, when they look at Lindsey Nelson moving forward, what's a good target capacity for that stadium?
Well, you know, the high end in our sport's about 12 on campus. I think you need to watch that with Tennessee because, number one, the weather – you know, you could say, well, the weather doesn't get great in Fayetteville or Oxford or Starkville till April either. True. But, you know, I think Tennessee, the fan base will always be, and it looks like, you know, Rick Barnes' program is not going anywhere. I just think both weather and with basketball, I don't know that you're ever going to have the fans' full attention until early April.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think you want a stadium so big that it looks like a ghost town.
Yeah.
In February and March. And I think Duke has proven this through the years in basketball. I think it's a great thing to have a ticket that you can't get your hands on. I think that's a great thing, right? I think you want your tickets in high demand. And so, you know, if Tennessee's maximum capacity right now is 4, you know, to me it makes sense to either go 50% more or 100% more, because you also do want to make sure that you can really ring the cash register when it's your time on the calendar. You know what I'm saying? So there's a balance there of not too big to where you lose your atmosphere early in the year, but big enough where when it's time to pack the house, you can really make some money, you know, and provide an experience where not just high money people can get in, but your entire fan base that wants to has at least a chance to get in. So to me, the number's probably between 6 and 8. And boy, I'm excited about the vision for what that place could look like, because it really – could be an awesome setting, and some of the renderings are just the beginning of what could happen there.
Chris, it's been 20 years since your team went to Omaha. You've been around the program pretty much ever since. Did you ever honestly think that you would see this level of engagement with Tennessee fans in Tennessee baseball?
Yeah, I did. I've seen it in my mind since I started covering the sport. I just know how great our fan base is and how passionate the people are about the university. and I see how the sport is celebrated at schools that their fan bases are similar to ours. And so I knew that eventually the right guy would get in there, ignite the fan base, and the people would fall in love with college baseball because it's such a cool sport and has the opportunity for such an awesome atmosphere. And so now that Tony's put a product on the field, now Tony's done a lot of other things than just put a great product on the field. I mean, he's connected with a fan base that's, you know, a very Bruce Pearl kind of way. So there's even an above and beyond infatuation going on right now than you maybe would have ever even imagined. But as far as our fan base selling the place out and loving the sport, yeah, I definitely could have seen it, and am just really glad that it's coming to fruition now, because the reality is our fan base has never really celebrated the current model of college baseball. I mean, you know, when we haven't been in the part of the national picture for 15 years, the sport has really changed in that period of time. And so it's cool to see our fans fall in love with it, kind of this version of college baseball, really for the first time.
You mentioned Bruce Pearl. One of the things that he did that was so remarkable was he was the guy who got Bernard King to come back to Rocky Top for the first time in maybe like 30 years, whatever it had been, since he had been more or less estranged from the program. I read an article, an interview that Brent Hubbs had over at VolQuest.com today with Rod Delmonico, and it was really cool. Chris, I know that's your coach. I don't know how much contact you have with him. Do you think it's time to bring, because he hasn't been around, and, you know, he got fired. I understand it probably wasn't a lighthearted situation at all back in 2006, but 15 years, do you think it's time to bring, he went to Omaha three times in 10 years, Chris. You think it's time to let him come out and tip his cap before one of these games?
Well, I would just say, Russell, that the reason he hasn't been back is not from the school's perspective. So he'll come back when he's ready to come back. I sure hope he comes back. I've let him know that a million times. I was hoping he was coming back a few different times throughout the course of the last 15 years. But, you know, coach is certainly entitled to play that however he wants to play it. But one thing I know is that Tony wants him back, and I think the crowd will give him his due because he truly is, you know, the architect of whatever standard Tennessee baseball has. It was under his watch. And if you look at back from 91 to 97, Tennessee baseball was just about as good as anybody but LSU at the SEC. And then obviously we had a couple good runs in 01 and 05. But, you know, Rod did it. He did it on the field. And him and Larry Simcox and, you know, a few of the other guys that were part of that staff, all deserve to be celebrated. And so I hope that coach agrees to do that at some point, because I think it would bring him back more often, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't really even thought about it until reading the article today, but it brought back a lot of memories. And it was like, you know what, it again, he went to Omaha three times. A guy like that should be celebrated, in my opinion, and honored in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and like I said, I just to be fair to previous regimes, they've tried to do that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I won't get into the details of it, but coach will come back when coach is ready to come back, you know.
All right, well, so, time heals all wounds.
I wonder if he'd be surprised at how warmly, because you know how we are here.
I think he would get
a warm. He rolls out there and tips that hat. Yeah. He's going to get embraced by everybody.
Yeah, we just got to get him there. We got to get him there. Okay. I'll just share this with you. When I was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame there at Tennessee, the first time I was supposed to be inducted, it was a crazy snowstorm, and like literally the interstates were shut down, and I was like midway between Knoxville or Louisville and Knoxville, and it was a parking lot on I-75, and they called me and said, man, we're gonna have to cancel this thing, like nobody can get here. And coach was in town.
Oh.
And then they did it again the next year, and coach didn't come back. And you know, Rod and I are very close. We talk and text and have a great relationship. And so, I've expressed as much as I possibly could how much that I know people would love to see him, love to have him back. And, he'll do that when he's ready.
So it almost happened. The weather.
It almost happened.
Conspired.
That's right.
Okay, so that
kind of a weird deal.
That makes it feel like it's a possibility.
Now we still had to get him there. but I didn't know he was in town. I'm not sure if he actually was going to make it to Thompson Bowling for the event, but he was in town.
Well, Chris, we appreciate your time. As always, my man, I told you we're going to have T-Bob Hebert on here. I don't know if you've seen any of that interaction he's had with Tennessee fans on social media this week, but it's been a little heated.
No, I haven't seen that. Maybe I need to check that out, but it's going to be heated. Somebody asked me to describe what I thought the action would be like this weekend, and I think the first word that came out of my mouth was ugly, and I was like, well, I don't mean it quite like that, but let's just say it's not going to be warm and fuzzy. So I hope it doesn't get too ugly, or you know, where we end up in anything that takes away from the ball being played, because it's two really good teams, and the talent is enough to keep our attention. Hopefully we don't get too far away from just playing ball.
It's going to be different than it would have been if Oregon was coming in here.
That's right. That's no doubt about it.
Different deal. Chris, always appreciate your time, my man. Have a great call on the games this weekend. And on your way out, man, give us – what do you think is going to happen? Give us a prediction.
I'll say this. I think if LSU is going to win the series, they're going to have to win game one. You know, I just think Blade Tidwell is a daunting task in game two. And for LSU, Marceau has been so valuable to them down the stretch and has thrown so many big innings. It would be very interesting to see what he still has in the tank on Saturday night. So to me, watch that first game. If Tennessee gets the first one, it wouldn't surprise me if they win the first two. If LSU gets the first one, I think we're in for a three-game barn burner. So that's what I got for you.
Let's go. Game one, man. Let's get it done. Chris, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care, guys.
Chris Burke, VFL, former major leaguer and current SEC Network and ESPN college baseball analyst. He'll be on the call. Tom Hart, man, the A-team coming to Knoxville for big weekend series.
Is this the biggest game, the biggest series of the weekend, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I don't even really off the top of my – I know Notre Dame plays Mississippi State. What are the other ones? Who does Arkansas play?
I don't think it's anybody – I just feel like this is a marquee matchup for the weekend.
That's big for us, for sure. How many SEC teams could possibly make it out of the eight?
So you'll have three playing on Friday. That'll be Vanderbilt and East Carolina, Arkansas and NC State, and then Ole Miss will play Arizona. And then on the following day, which is Saturday the 12th, you will have those three. Mississippi State plays Notre Dame, Tennessee plays LSU, and that is it. So five SEC teams.
You could have five SEC teams.
That's correct.
Right.
Out of the eight in the College World Series.
Wow. And that probably won't happen. One of these teams will probably get beat in one of these other series, but I mean, even if you
so I think Ole Miss is making it.
So there's a couple of really, really good series that are going to be on. I mean, Ole Miss is 12 and Arizona's ranked 6, so you have a close one there. Number 1, Arkansas. Number 16, NC State. Number 8, Mississippi State. Number 7, Notre Dame. And East Carolina right there ranked at number 11 for number 3, Vanderbilt. So certainly widespread talent in the top 25 going up against the SEC.
Yeah. I just kind of feel like Ole Miss has been a team that may have been overlooked simply because of playing in the same division as Mississippi State,
I don't think
Arkansas, LSU.
They're widely respected, man. They're a powerhouse.
They're a dangerous team in this deal.
And I believe their coach, is it Bianco? Is their coach? And he went to LSU. He played under Skip Bertman.
Huh.
So maybe
now who?
If LSU can't get any of their top targets, including our guy, then I wonder if he would consider going home because they're good.
Yeah. Who does Vanderbilt have again, Rick?
East Carolina.
Yeah, East Carolina.
Boy, they've had an easy run to the series, haven't they?
Have they? I don't know.
They had they opened with Presbyterian.
Oh, they had the blue hose.
Yeah.
Love the blue hose.
Yeah.
Out of Clinton, South Carolina, the sprawling metropolis of Clinton, South
Carolina. That played
into
our series last week. What was it? The Wright State coach was furious when he found out that they were going to drive Presbyterian – went straight through Knoxville on I-40 heading to Nashville, and they made Wright State come down here and face Tennessee right off the bat.
Would we would have Presbyterian, would they have been easier than
Wright State? Yeah. Hell yeah.
anybody would be easier than the number one scoring team in NCAA baseball. that's a high bar.
Wildly misseeded as number four
but
we wouldn't have had the walk-off grand slam if not for Wright State. So
nothing I would change about last week, and I think it went perfect.
Yeah.
We won.
How do you think that pitcher's doing this week? That guy
good.
Not good,
not
Bob.
Good.
Not good.
Not good, Bob.
All right, stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on the show this afternoon. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Many, many people are saying. Many of y'all are letting us know. Apparently, Vitello today. I guess somebody asked him about Delmonico, and Vitello said he wanted him to come throw out the first pitch at the first game this weekend, which I think would be cool, but evidently you can't do it because of NCAA rules.
Can we look up the rule? That seems really, really dumb.
The only thing I can think of is it's not technically a home game. It's a tournament.
Yeah, but
and
who
so
cares?
You can't have somebody who's partial to Tennessee
to throw out the first pitch?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
It kind of is.
I mean, we let presidents throw out the first pitch, and some of them over the years have been really upfront about their rooting interest.
Yeah, at home games. So this is college ball, and it's the tournament.
Like Bush was a Rangers fan. Obama's a Sox fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be a huge deal. I think if you asked LSU, they'd be like, sure, whatever, we don't care. But
Maneri doesn't care.
I kind of get it. But I also think I hadn't thought about it, but I think he would be warmly received. You do it at a series next year.
You do it at this series, and that crowd would have been foaming at the mouth for him.
I think so, too. But bring him in for the Vanderbilt series or something next year, whatever the big series at home is, for a sold-out game.
Yeah, I mean, I had forgotten. And
time
I guess
to bury
I never,
the hatchet.
Yeah, I never realized how long he was here. He was here almost as long as Fulmer was.
Yeah. And, look, I know there's some people, he handled it the wrong way or he did whatever. Or this stuff is going on behind the scenes. I get it. It's 15 years ago. 15 years, man.
He got tickets to three College World Series.
Three College World Series, Berkey, Helton, Hoshaver, Bubba
Pickler.
Trammell, all those dudes. Did you just mention Jeff Pickler?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's time to let it all go. And that's interesting to hear Berkey say, look, Tennessee has let it go. They'll bring him back. It's up to Coach DeMonico to accept the olive branch.
But I kind of got the impression that Berkey's probably let him know. These people, they love you.
He got fired. He's probably pissed about it.
See, I don't even remember when he got fired because I never really followed. I can't remember what
he
it was over.
He got fired in 2006, and look.
We have a horrible
clearly
season.
Clearly, we botched the hire after that and the hire after that. we messed it up.
Does Vitello give us hope that we may one day get it,
I mean,
we went from 2005 to 2000? We went 12 years in the baseball wasteland before we got another coach that looks like he might be on Delmonico's level, like a guy that can get us to three or four World Series in a decade.
Man, I think he'd be better than Delmonico. No shot at Delmonico, but I'm drinking
the
TV Kool-Aid.
Goes for the win,
man.
Doesn't he, boys?
I'm drinking the TV Kool-Aid. No
it's
apologies.
Hard not to. Did you see the quote that Evan Russell gave just within the last 10 minutes or so?
No, I'm doing a show. I'm not paying attention.
Oh, a simple no would be fine.
Yeah, ouch.
He said this. Just messing with you.
He said this, we're not afraid to be the villains. Our fans are not afraid to be the villains. It's time for Tennessee to step up, step into the fight.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Fight
what Russell
words.
Said?
Oh,
it's what Evan Russell said.
Let's go.
Our
let's
fans
go.
Are not afraid to be the villains. You're damn right.
We never have been.
Never.
You just got to embrace it, man. It is what it is.
We're the Stone Cold Steve Austins of college baseball right
you
now.
You can't win them all. When we do lose, we're going to get owned.
Yeah.
And that's
we don't care.
And that's okay.
But we may tackle you and beat you senseless.
But that's going to be – It's fun, man. And I was talking to Houston earlier today. It's not necessarily all fan bases love that,
yeah. Right?
All fan bases. When you got a cocky, arrogant coach that's good.
See Steve Spurrier, Florida.
Exactly. Spurrier.
Leach, when he was rolling at Washington.
Leach, Kiffin, Bruce Pearl. When you got a guy who wins and the other teams hate it. And the
Calipari.
Thing about Tony is Vitello's not necessarily cocky or arrogant.
Mm-mm.
But he's got a swagger about him, and it rubs the other people the wrong way. If we had some plain old school coach and Vitello was in LSU's dugout, oh, we'd hate him.
Oh,
we'd hate his guts.
Oh, yeah.
We would hate his guts.
Yeah, we trash him constantly.
But he's our guy.
Yeah.
So
that's why I always wanted Steve Spurrier to be here.
We go to war with him. You wanted Steve Spurrier to be here because he won like 90% of his games.
Well, but you know me about as well as any friend I've got, and you know his mouth, how much that appeals to, you know, the crazy part of me.
It's the old Dave Bartu quote, maybe the wisest thing that's ever been uttered on the show, and I know that's not saying a whole lot. There's no such thing as a good fit. People talk, oh, he's a good fit. There's no such thing. You know what a good fit is? Somebody who wins. Fans love a winner. They want a coach who wins. Bruce Pearl's a good fit. No, Bruce Pearl won a lot, and we loved him.
Yeah.
Nobody would have loved Bruce Pearl if he ran his mouth all the time and he was a 500 coach.
Yeah.
Buzz Peterson was a super-duper nice guy. Everybody loved him. Buzz Peterson didn't win, man. Nobody remembers Buzz Peterson. Jeremy Pruitt's a good fit. Derek Dooley's a good fit because he's Southern. He's from the SEC. He knows Southern. But they suck.
Yeah.
They're not good coaches. They don't win.
Horrible.
So give me a winner. Tony V's a winner, man. We got a winner here in Knoxville, and it's about darn time. All right, this T-Bob Hebert thing should be interesting. Should I come at him, or should I roll out the red carpet? Sale? Come in here, and it's up to you, dude. If you come at us, we'll come back at you, but we're bringing you on the airwaves, and we'll be hospitable until you're not hospitable.
I think so. I mean, you're a pro's pro. I wouldn't.
Should I just bring him on and blast him and be like, dude, what the hell are you thinking? What's wrong with you? Huckabee says, yeah, that's what I should do.
You need to look up the stuff he's been tweeting before we have him on.
Okay, I'll do that.
Top of the hour.
I'll do that during this break. Rick's got the top four at four. When we continue, T-Bob Hebert coming up in hour number two. A lot to get to. Jam-packed edition of The Drive. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up.